Well, today's sharing is about what can we learn about prayer from the tradition of prayer in the church. And it's the first of two. I'll get into continue it next week. And I'm following the Catechism in content, at least, from number 2650 on the following. And this is now a quote from the Catechism to begin. Prayer cannot be reduced to the spontaneous outpouring of interior impulse. In order to pray, one must have the will to pray. Nor is it enough to know what the scriptures reveal about prayer. One must also learn how to pray. Through a living transmission, brackets, sacred tradition, and that's what it means, a living handing on, within the believing and praying church, the Holy Spirit teaches the children of God how to pray. The Holy Spirit. Spirit, we've done it before, the Spirit of Jesus. His prayer. He's teaching us, interceding with the Father and inspiring us through His Spirit. The tradition of that bit wasn't in the catechism. The tradition of Christian prayer is one of the ways in which the tradition of faith takes shape and grows, especially through the contemplation and study of believers who treasure in their hearts the events and words of the economy of salvation, and through their profound grasp of the spiritual realities they experience. You probably had a problem with some of those words. Sometimes the translators of the Latin texts don't go to the trouble to write English. But you can get the general drift of it, I hope. Translation is a very complex, humble task and not at all easy, as you may know. I certainly know. And sometimes they don't take the trouble to express it. The first thing, I'm going to do two things with you in this first half. One is spiritual reading and the other is meditation. They are my two topics. Spiritual reading, again, this is a parts of what I'm saying, the gist is in this book of Yielding to Love, which I wrote whenever I wrote it, and it's there for you if you have wanted. And there's a chapter on spiritual reading, but of course some of it is just whatever I'm saying. But in chapter 16 you'll find matter of it. Here's a quote from my own writing, which is a bit odd, but there we are. Reflective spiritual reading is an important aid to prayer. It helps to nourish our imagination and our mind, and so it helps to stimulate love. This, in turn, leads to a desire to penetrate more deeply into the mysteries of God. The Bible, and especially the New Testament, has a special place here. We come to know God by coming to know God's Son, Jesus. There is, however, an abundance of other writing that can also be a source of nourishment to our souls. It's important to remember, however, that spiritual reading is not a substitute for prayer. You can read prayerfully, but when I'm talking of prayer with you, I'm talking about something quite special. If we intend to take the reading into the times which we set aside for prayer, you might have set aside half an hour in the day for prayer to be quiet. You might do what my father did and my mother. Dad didn't have very good health when he came home from work. He went into the lounge room and Mum wouldn't let us go near him for a certain period because he needed that time. Clearly he was praying. But so Mum protected him, and you probably should protect each other a bit. And so if you, however, have set aside, say, half an hour of the day or 20 minutes, it's up to you, where you want to just pray, you might do what I'm tempted to do too. You might take a book with you that you find helpful And if you do that, and that can be a good thing to do, we'd best follow the advice of Father Marie Eugène, a French discalced Carmelite, in his book I Want to See God. And this is what he says. I think it's good advice. The book to be chosen for reflective reading is not the book that's simply instructive or devotional, nor even the interesting book that holds one's attention. They're all good to do, but if you've got a prayer time, you've got to do something else. The book that he wants suggests that a spiritual reading in that you want to be a prayer is the book that suggests and provokes reflection, arouses the affections, or better still, awakens the soul and keeps it in the presence of God. Simply reading is not reflective reading. It must be interrupted for deeper reflections in the presence of God, to express to God our love, to enter into conversation with God. It will be shorter, prolonged according to need, and will be resumed only when one falls again into dreaminess or inertia. I hope that seems clear to me, what he's saying. So if you take the spiritual reading in and you're reading it and something moves you ever so slightly, you stop and then you enter into prayer and then maybe come back to the reading. It might help you to do that. Some people find that a good way to do it. But if you don't stop and you keep reading, then you're doing spiritual reading but you're not praying. A special kind of spiritual reading, and I won't delay on this, is often described by the traditional Latin formula lectio divina. Lectio is reading, divina, divine. What makes this kind of reading special is its long history in monastic tradition and our approach to it. We often read with our critical faculties on full alert. If you're like me, that's what you're always doing. So you're watching check whether it's right or wrong or wise or helpful or whatever. We're testing whether or not we agree with what we're reading, how it fits into Orthodox teaching or with other ideas with which we're familiar. So our critical intellect, rightly, is alerted and we're checking. Well, Lectio Divina is not that. In Lectio Divina, we need our critical faculties to be involved, for we've got to interpret and understand what we're reading. However, unlike other forms of spiritual reading, we choose a text that's of such a standing that we can read it humbly, confidently, and peacefully, expecting to be nourished and wanting to learn as a disciple seeks to learn from a master. You might be reading Ignatius of Loyola's Spiritual Exercises that millions of people have found helpful. So you're not going to be there criticizing it. You're going to be there learning from it humbly. And you know. Obviously, the Bible stands out in this category. There's a place for critical research. I spent half my life doing it. But when you actually come to the Bible, just let it wash over you. But there are other classical texts that can be used as well. Another feature of what's called Lectio Divina is that we don't pick and choose sections that might attract us or be of special interest to us. This is the Benedictine recommendation anyhow. Rather, we commit ourselves to read the whole text for as long as it takes. So you might decide you're going to read the Confessions of St. Augustine. So you start from the beginning and you go to the end. Let it all. Or you might read the Rule of St. Benedict. Or you might read Teresa of Lisieux's Story of a Soul. Or you might read John of the Cross, you know. Just read it. Read it. Next page, you read the next page. That's what Lectio Divina is. Furthermore, our way of reading follows a well-established method. We read until our heart is engaged. And then we pause to meditate on whatever it is that has moved our heart. Because God's speaking to us through the words, and that's what we want to listen to. And our heart's responding. So we allow ourselves to be taken by God into prayer communion. Spiritual reading has an especially important role to play in a culture that's bombarded with often trivial and inconsequential information. You might find, well, it's recommended to us, I don't always do it, but I guess there wouldn't be too many days when I haven't done something like it. But spiritual reading is part of the regular life that you live, because otherwise you've got your TV, you've got your newspaper, you've got Deadwood Dick or something, whatever it is you're reading that you like, you've got Dan Brown's book on whatever it is, and you know all this stuff, and go for it if you want to. If you've got time for it, that's okay. Spiritual reading is something that ought to be part of our daily nourishment, because there's a lot of stuff coming in that isn't very spiritual, isn't there? So give yourself a break and go into the garden of your soul and be nourished. This bombardment harms the mind much as junk food harms the body. Spiritual writers recommend a regular diet of good reading as an antidote to distraction, and so that we may bring to prayer an enriched mind and heart. And to conclude this first topic on spiritual reading, which is pretty obvious, I guess, some people find it useful to keep a journal of their responses to their reading. A lot of people find that helpful. I don't, and I'm not sure whether it's because I do when I do it, I find it, but I don't know whether I'm too lazy to do it or I've got other things to do, I'm not sure, but I generally don't do that. Though yesterday I did, so who knows. The time spent doing this can help deepen and clarify the movements of the Holy Spirit that were experienced during the reading. You do your reading and then you sit back and reflect on it and jot down the things that moved you during it, because they go quickly and tomorrow you've forgotten. You just remember, gee, I liked that. Some people come up to me and say, anyhow, that was a really lovely sermon. I say, what did you like about it? And they can't think anything. They just got a feeling during it. And that's all right too, but you see, it wouldn't hurt to help yourself, most of us, by a little aide-mémoire. The time spent doing this journaling can help deepen and clarify the movements of the Holy Spirit that were experienced during the reading. Furthermore, a perusal the following morning of what we've written can help induce in us a prayerful, reflective attitude with which to begin the day. If we read yesterday's journal before beginning today's spiritual reading, we might decide to repeat yesterday's reading rather than go on to the next section. Spiritual reading is to help nurture our communion with God, and communion with God is prayer. So it's meant an aid to it. It's not primarily a matter of accumulating further information.